It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Let me invite you once again to open your Bible, if at all possible, to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at a few verses there today. And you know, you've heard of the seven wonders of the ancient world, I'm sure. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Well, there are many more wonders of God's ancient word. And we have the great privilege to look again in this wonderful book inspired by the wonderful Savior. And one of the wonders of Scripture is its unique nature and history. The diversity of human writers from multiple countries over more than 1,500 years, yet with a wonderfully and amazingly consistent divine message. And that message is this: Jesus saves. Well, let me say this, that I mentioned the fact that there are writers. Well, they are the men, the holy men of God, chosen by God to pin down what God wanted in His book. That book, of course, is the Bible. Well, someone has said about the Bible, there are words written by kings, by emperors, by princes, by poets, by sages, by philosophers, by fishermen, by statesmen, by men learned in the wisdom of Egypt, educated in the schools of Babylon, and trained at the feet of rabbis in Jerusalem. Certainly very smart people, but once again, we have people whom we would not consider very well educated. God used those people to pin down the words that He wanted in His book. And once again, God is no respecter of persons. He will not refuse anyone who comes to Him faith believing that He is the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Savior, and He wants to save every person in this world. Now notice that the Bible was written by men in exile, in the desert, in shepherd's tents, in green pastures, and beside still waters. Well, among the authors, we find a tax collector and a herdsman. We find poor men, rich men, statesmen, preachers, captains, legislators, judges, and exiles. Well, the Bible is a library full of history, genealogy, ethnology, law, ethics, prophecy, poetry, eloquence, medicine, sanitary science, political economy, and the perfect rules for personal and social life. And behind every word is the divine author Himself, Jesus Christ, God Himself. Now we take time to look at one of those who suffered affliction, as seen in the Word of God. And that person is Paul the Apostle. Now we need to understand certain things about the Apostle as we study about him. And affliction did not take away the happiness of the Apostle Paul. He was a prisoner, and we're going to read that in just a few moments in the book of Philippians. He was a prisoner in chains with an uncertain future. He was in chains for the crime of preaching the gospel. Now, as we study in the book of Acts, chapter 27, it tells us about Paul being shipwrecked. Chapter 28 of Acts tells us what happened after the shipwreck. And also in Acts chapter 28, it tells us about Paul's arrival in Rome. And in Acts chapter 28 and verse 20, after Paul had called the chief of the Jews together, he told them why he was in chains at Rome. It says there in Acts chapter 28 and verse 20, "For this cause, therefore, have I called for you, to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain." Well, Paul radiates with joy, confidence, and gratitude. And in the epistle to the Philippians, there are 16 references to joy, rejoicing, and gladness. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul gives us his true address. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Well, the afflictions did not take away the usefulness of the apostle. He demonstrates that affliction rightly borne makes for the furtherance of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. And we're going to read these verses in just a moment. You see, Paul also reveals to us the blessed fruits of affliction. when it is rightly born. Now notice this, if you would. Now I'm going to start reading in Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, and we're going to read down through verse 20. It says there, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Let me stop there just a moment. And he's not saying his salvation of eternal life. He's talking about he will be living there, that salvation through your prayer. In other words, they'll keep him alive. And he's looking to the future of preaching Jesus Christ. Verse 20 goes on to say, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." Paul said, whether I live or die, I'm praying that the Lord will be exalted, whether or not, which way or not. I believe that Paul the Apostle was sold out to God. He was a man who was willing to suffer and die for Jesus Christ. Well, notice with me, if you would, in those verses we just read, because of affliction, the gospel gains a wider hearing. In other words, more people can hear it. Now, I just read verse 13. I'm going to read it again. It says, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." You see, when Paul was in prison, it opened a new door, another door for him. He was able to reach new contacts. Paul's imprisonment opened a new world for witnessing. And then in verse 13 that we just read, and we go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22, it says, "All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." Well, he was preaching the word of God, and notice in the palace, the saints of Caesar's household, notice that. These people would never have heard the gospel without Paul's imprisonment. Well, not only did the people who, we'll say, waited on Caesar, the cooks or whatever that were around there, but we notice the soldiers also got saved. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 16, and it says, "And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard. But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him." What an opportunity for unhurried witnessing. You see, today and in generations past, the prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, have been a precious part of the Bible. And it tells us that no matter where we're at, what condition we're in, no matter how bad it seems, we can still talk about Jesus Christ. Well, not only did Paul's imprisonment open a new world of contacts for witnessing, Paul's example is a challenge to all believers, to us. The Bible tells us that every believer is a living lamp. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid." And then in Matthew 5:16 it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Well, the Bible tells us that we're lights, that when we talk, it's like Jesus Christ is doing what needs to be done. And when we're telling people about Jesus Christ, he is the light of the world. And because he's the light of the world and we're his representative, we're giving out the light. We're telling people about the light. how that they too can know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, every believer is not only a light, but every believer is a living letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "Ye are our epistle," in other words, a letter. "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Not only that, every believer is a living telescope. Now, this may seem something strange to you, but Psalm 69 verse 30 says, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. The faraway Savior is brought near and made visible to those who do not know him, because we can bring him to them and tell them about his saving power." Well, as Paul was afflicted, we see that once again that because of his affliction, the brethren can be strengthened. We draw strength when we know of a person who is suffering for Jesus Christ. That may seem odd, but we draw strength. In other words, if that person is going through so much, they're being afflicted, they're being tortured or whatever, how much more should we be willing to serve Jesus Christ, our Savior, when we're not being tortured or suffering in a manner that we read of Paul the Apostle that he was going through? And other people in the Word of God, they suffered. And might I say, there are people suffering today for the cause of Christ. These are people that we may never hear about, that we don't know what's going on in their lives, but there are people who are being tortured today for the cause of Jesus Christ. Well, now, because of affliction, we see the brethren can be strengthened. We see in Peter that he was strengthened. Jesus said to Peter, "Strengthen thy brethren." We can help each other in this world as saved people. We can uplift other individuals, other saved people, by letting them know that Jesus loves them. Now, I know that they know he loves them, but we need to encourage them and remind them of things. If they're going through a difficult time, we need to pray with them and help strengthen them in the Lord. We can't strengthen them, but through what we tell them about Jesus Christ, the same as we tell unsaved people that he saves, we can tell other believers that Jesus Christ loves you because he's saved you, and you're on your way to heaven and you have nothing to fear. Once again, Jesus said to Peter, "Strengthen thy brethren." Now, these words were among the last spoken by Jesus to Peter before the crucifixion. Strengthening of the brethren is more needed today than is generally realized. We need to help each other and encourage each other. Notice, Paul was steadfast, and steadfastness is powerful. He stayed the course. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Steadfastness under affliction is more powerful than the testimony of words. In other words, people see you and they know you're going through a difficult time, but yet you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and they know that because your testimony says, "I know the Lord, he loves me, I'm on my way to heaven, I have nothing to fear." Father, thank you for this time we've had together. And I pray now that you would help each one who has heard this as we have talked about the Apostle Paul being in affliction. May you strengthen your people today, your saved people, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.